It was a watershed event in our lives when my wife, Sue, and I were summoned by school officials from Roscommere Road School to hear a litany of complaints about the behavior of our son, Brian. A number of people were in the room, and each had issues to report. Brian had been fighting with kids during recess, and a girl's face had been scratched.
"If you agree to get some professional help, we're willing to give Brian more time,"
the principal said.
"For our part, we will assign a special teacher to him."
It was clear that we were considered to be completely at fault. The counselor would provide Brian with a loving attention that he was obviously not getting at home. We left the meeting with a torrent of emotions, confusion, guilt, shame, and a determination to put things right. How had we missed the warning signals? Brian's behavior problems were not news to us, but the environment at home was very different from that at school. At home, Brian had an outlet. He could walk the trails and climb the hills around our house. At school, he was trapped and acted out against the kids around him. We had not been seeing the whole picture. For months, his behavioral issues at home had been getting worse, but the litany of offenses laid at our doorstep were of quite another order. It soon became clear that the counselor's intervention was having no impact, so we were summoned to a second meeting.
"Brian just spat out obscenities at me,"
the counselor exclaimed defensively.
"Your son is clearly severely emotionally disturbed."
Brian could no longer remain at the school. We were asked to make other arrangements. We left the meeting feeling absolutely depleted. Brian reacted with typical insolence and disconnection, which, in our opinion, disguised a world of hurt and of confusion. But who could know how he was really feeling? Questions mounted. What do we do now? How do we explain this to Brian? What school will take him? How can we correct behavioral problems we don't understand? Like most people in our culture, we firmly believe that a child's behavior was the parent's responsibility. It was our duty to teach Brian to behave. Not only was this not working, but matters were going downhill. Had we failed our son? The year was 1977. Brian was 8 years old. Professional help for cases like this was rare. Fortunately, our pediatrician understood something we did not. He suspected a neurological involvement.